Diversion Audio.
Rat Race got you down?
Stars, the hottest, biggest in...
It was November 2nd, 1966. The Monkees were on the radio, Mission Impossible was on the TV, and over in Queens, New York, Arthur and Arlene Schwimmer welcomed their second child into the world. And that baby, a certain David Schwimmer, would go on to be one of the biggest names in sitcom history.
Pivot! Pivot! Pivot!
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
We were on a break!
Well, what's the show about?
It's about nothing.
You've never met? No! Did you talk about
who? Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
Hello and welcome to The Shows We Watched with me, James King.
And me, Emily Johnston. And today we're talking classic TV for the next half hour.
Yes, and it's not just a show we watched, but a specific character in a show we watched. That doesn't roll off the tongue quite so easily, does it?
Snazzy.
But why not? Because it's his birthday after all. Emily, tell us more.
That's right. This week it's Friends, and we're talking about Ross Geller.
It's a Ross Geller special. You know what? I can foresee at least another 5 episodes where we focus on one Friends character.
Well,
maybe even 6 if we do Gunther.
Do you think there's enough to do Gunther?
I think he's a legend.
He is.
We'll get there. That's several seasons down the line. But of course, Friends is such a huge topic, a bona fide phenomenon, 10 seasons, countless awards. The main cast, of course, still making an absolute fortune from syndication. So there's a lot to unpick with Friends. Emily, let's start with just how important Ross is in the group, because sometimes I think he's perhaps a little overlooked because he doesn't have the glamour or the humour of the others. But of course, he has his own distinct thing, doesn't he?
The humour is more goofiness, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he, to me, I feel like Ross has always been the big brother. Literally the big brother. But to the whole group, he's always been seen as the smart one. He's a paleontologist.
Yeah. Or as Joey says, dinosaurs.
And they're like, really? That's a thing?
Yeah.
And he obviously is well-educated, has a PhD from Columbia. He works in a museum. Obviously he takes on various roles. But when we first meet him, I believe he's working in a museum. And he is the smart guy. He's the guy who is, he's intelligent, he's educated. And he seemingly has all the answers, except he doesn't.
Very much doesn't.
And I think that's why Ross might be so lovable and fit in so perfectly into this group of people, because he might have all the answers as they pertain to books.
Yeah.
But when it comes to loving a woman or telling someone how he feels, he's a bit Larry David in a way, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just trips over himself all the time. And I think that that's quite endearing. But that's the humor that he adds to the group. So and we'll get to that, some of his funniest and best moments.
Yeah.
But they're very... Klutz led, you know, and there's not a punchline. He's not a Chandler, and he's not a kind of thicker Joey. And he's just this sort of innocent humor that means that he's not as familiar with the world as he should be. And yet he's seen as the leader of this group in a way.
Yeah.
And he really is the glue as well. And he's so encouraging to the other characters when they're going through life, and he's talking to them and offering them advice. And I feel like people really look at Ross like they can depend on him for good advice, where I don't think necessarily you would go to Rachel to ask for career advice.
Never. No, Joey, never.
No. So Ross would definitely, he's like the dad of the group if we were trying to give family labels.
Yeah. And where does he sit for you in terms of your favourite characters? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot. And obviously we are dealing with Ross this episode. So it'd be nice if he was quite high up. But Is he one of your favorites?
I think Ross is my favorite.
Okay, you're going to say this for every single character we do.
I know. I mean, you know me well enough. I probably would. No, I really do think Ross is my favorite. I have had the biggest laughs from Ross.
Right.
And I mean, belly hurting, bent over, thinking I might be sick, laughing so hard. And I can't say the same about any of the other characters.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody has a different reason for why their favorite is their favorite.
Yeah,
but that
yeah.
is why Ross is mine. Because
it's one of the great kind of debates in a bar, isn't it? You know, which Friends character are you? Which Friends character do you most like? Which Friends character are you, by the way?
I usually get Sex in the City for that.
Oh, okay. Well, we can do that. Yeah.
We must roll in different circles. Yeah.
So you've never thought about which Friends character you are? Because with guys, I think they always say Chandler because they want to be seen as the funny one. But actually,
really?
Most of us are Ross.
That is very interesting.
But
we could unpack that for the
so
next 20 minutes.
So many guys I know would go, well, clearly I'm Chandler because we like to think that we're hilarious with the one-liners.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, you know, a wife or a girlfriend might say, oh, give it a break. You're clearly Ross. You're the geek.
But you know what's really interesting? You've just said that. It's the first time I thought that there's not one character that's traditionally handsome. I mean, I guess Joey would be considered the hunky one.
Yeah, I mean, that's played up to in the show, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't...
How are you doing?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's his episode. I'm not going to do that yet.
No, but I mean, I get... But just when we're talking about the characters, and you know, like, for example, when you talk about the Sex and the City characters, you have, like, the kind of quirky, you know, the quirky one, the pretty one, the kind of slutty one, and things like that. We'll get into those later. But I feel like for this specific thing, like, I would say, for example, that Rachel was the pretty one.
Yes.
Out of the girls. And when I look at the guys, I wouldn't... maybe that's just my personal preference.
It's Gunther. Gunther is the answer.
Secretly, I mean, we all know it's Brad Pitt, but like, I find that really interesting. I've never even thought that guys might discuss who their Friends character would be.
We definitely did at the time.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, the first time round it was on. I definitely did that. So you never thought, oh, I'm so Monica or I'm so Phoebe or anything?
No, because I don't think I'm any of the three. I don't even think I even remotely identify with any of those three women. Not even in the slightest. Maybe. No, not. I can't even say maybe. There's none.
Well, talking of the women, we should mention, of course, Ross's true love, Rachel.
I mean, the main storyline of the
Ross
whole
series. Ross and Rachel. Arguably the thing that it was a big hit, but that propelled it into another dimension, isn't it? The on and off relationship of Ross and Rachel.
Are you listening to With or Without You right now on your head?
As you'll hear, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of Ross and Rachel, but that is a really powerful moment.
Yeah.
The use of that song.
Yeah.
And it's in the show from very early on. The first season finale, if you remember, is Rachel finding out that Ross is in love with her. I think it's Joey's big mouth, isn't it? That gives it away.
Yeah.
And he flies off to China and he's been in love with her since childhood. There's a lot of backstory to this.
We have video evidence of this.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah, that's cute. There's a lot of history there. And of course, there are many important episodes in that relationship between Ross and Rachel. There's the one when they go on a break. That phrase kind of became a whole thing, didn't it? We're on a break.
We were on a break.
Because they've been dating for a while, but then they go on a break. It all goes wrong. There's the one where Ross gets married. The double episode in London, baby. It's London, baby.
Such a good episode. Good pairing of episodes, sorry.
Exactly, yeah. Two episodes. Ross is about to marry Emily, calls her Rachel. End of season four. Wow, that's the way to end the season. And along the way, there's Carol, his ex-wife, with whom he has a son, Ben. She leaves him after realizing she's a lesbian, falls in love with Susan. Ross, of course, dates Elizabeth as well. Do you remember when he dates his student in season six?
Yeah.
And Rachel dates Elizabeth's dad, played by...
Bruce Willis. Oh my God, I totally forgot about that.
That's great.
That's so brilliant. I totally forgot.
So there's a lot of relationship stuff going on with Ross, but Ross and Rachel is really the heart of it, even when he's seeing other people.
Yeah.
Essentially, we're just waiting for him to get together with Rachel.
I mean, we all kind of knew. Like, it was just that... I think that's the one thread that was the strongest that ran through the entire series.
Yeah, the mainstay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna rain on your parade now.
Oh God.
Here's my thing.
Don't do it, James.
I get him loving her for years from afar. That's a lovely setup.
Okay.
I'm not sure I get her reciprocating. To me that feels like kind of male wish fulfillment that I can be the slightly nerdy paleontologist and lust from afar after this beautiful princess. But probably in real life, she wouldn't reciprocate. But in the show, of course, she...
I'm going to have an answer
and
for this.
Sometimes I wonder if she's, knowing Rachel, because she is a bit princessy, as we know.
She is, yep.
That actually it's just the fact that he's in love with her and worships her is more of an attraction to her than actually Ross the guy.
Interesting that you would say that, James, because that was going to be my response to that, was the fact that one of the most memorable moments for me is when she sees the video of prom, when Ross goes up and puts on his dad's tuxedo and he's sitting on the stairs waiting to take, or comes down the stairs, he's going to take Rachel to prom because her date has stood her up. And then the video shows him coming down the stairs and the girls leaving with their dates. So Monica and Rachel leave with their dates and Ross just looks crestfallen sitting on the stairs. And I correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a while since I've seen this episode, but in my head it plays out that they're watching this in the future and she, from that moment, they're watching it in the present from that past moment. And she gets up and immediately kisses Ross. And I think, and what I've always thought about Rachel as a character with Ross and why that works is because I think Rachel has always been loved as a superficial thing. And I think Ross has always, she's always felt that from that moment specifically, that Ross has really, truly loved her. And it was before, I think it was before she had her nose job and things like that. So I'm on the show.
Of course, Jennifer Aniston in real life has never had any work done.
No, let's just make that clear. She's just gorgeous as she is. But I really think that there is something much more sinister in that storyline and the idea that Rachel has never really felt love the way that Ross could deliver that for her. And I think that's why that works, because she feels this depth to their attraction and their history that she didn't have with, was it Barry she was getting married?
It still feels like it's her responding positively to him being in love with her.
Well, that's why I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, as opposed to her genuinely loving him.
I think, I think it's a fine line,
I guess, isn't it? You know, where one stops and the other starts. But look at Chandler and Monica, for example, which begins actually in that episode in London, baby.
Yeah.
That's where it, and it just happens so naturally. And I know, obviously, Ross and Rachel is over many seasons, whereas Chandler and Monica is more of a quick thing. It begins quickly, at least. But you just look at those two and you go, of course.
Yeah.
Makes total sense. Both neurotic, you know, absolutely. I completely buy it.
Yeah, but you don't buy the Ross and Rachel.
It's not that I don't. I mean, it's a cultural phenomenon, their relationship. Yeah. You know, I buy it.
Yeah.
But never as much as I bought Chandler and Monica.
That's so interesting, because I didn't see that one coming.
I see them, absolutely, I could see them hanging out in the group of friends, which of course they do.
Yeah.
I could see them even being individual friends.
Yeah.
But crossing that line and being lovers.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, as brilliantly as it's played out, and of course it's played out brilliantly. It's classily done. But I just never quite bought it as much as some of the other relationships.
So is it not well written enough to be believable for you?
No, I think it's just, I don't see what they have in common.
James, some of the greatest love stories in all of our time.
And of course, every time I talk about this and I go, look, he's just some kind of, you know, geeky intellectual guy and she's like a babe princess, I think, well, that's pretty much my own marriage. So I can't criticize it when that's happened to me. So that does change my argument slightly.
No, now, James, that is a ridiculous over. No. But he's not, like, this is the other thing about Ross, though. The evolution of Ross as well, even if I can't help but mention the style evolution of Ross, because he's a dapper looking guy. He dresses nicely and he manages to date some hot ladies. And you know, are sophisticated women, and there must be some attraction there general population.
Not
in New
just
York
sophisticated women. He dates a girl, virtually one of his students.
How old was she? Well, she's a college student, so she's legal.
Oh no, absolutely. I was not suggesting otherwise, but she's certainly a lot younger than he is. So there's certainly an attraction there.
Do you want to know something really interesting? That's a bit of a side, but since this is the first time we're talking about friends.
Okay, you were a college student and you dated someone 20 years older than me.
No, God, no. Art history professor I was talking about. No. So We've talked about Beavis and Butthead and how my parents wouldn't let me watch Beavis and Butthead.
Yes, that was in a previous episode. But yeah. You can't possibly tell me that your parents didn't let you watch Friends.
Well, no, my family watched Friends as a family.
Oh, okay.
But here's where I say only for a couple of years, because obviously then I was off, you know, we left for university and things like that. But that's where I find it very interesting that I wasn't allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead. And pretty much like the only time they talked about sex is when they were talking about some lady's, you know, nice figure or something. And
on Beavis and Butthead. Pretty blunt when it came to sex.
Yeah, but it was like blunt and then done. Whereas Friends is very nuanced and there's a lot of references to a lot of things, which I think at the time I was too young to get, which is maybe why my parents thought it was okay for us all to watch that. But this happened in America. People watched the show as a family show. And I go and I watch, you know, like everyone else in the world, you turn on one of the channels on TV and Friends is playing and you're like, okay, I'll have a Friends moment. Whatever episode it is, I know I'll enjoy it. And some of those episodes, I sit there and I go... I wasn't allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead, but we were watching this as a family. What the heck? Anyway, totally aside, but I just thought you might be interested.
Well, we'll be talking about some of those episodes coming up because we're going to look at some of Ross's funniest moments. You are listening to the shows we watched. As I said, more Ross Geller on the way. And we find out whatever happened to perhaps Ross's second love, second greatest love in his life, Marcel the monkey.
Oh, God.
The answer's coming up.
This is the shows we watch with me, Emily Johnston.
And me, James King, talking all things Ross from Friends. It's so much Friends and the characters are so rich that we're just going to deal with them individually.
We have to, otherwise we'd be sitting here for 10 hours straight.
Exactly, and no one would want that. So the first time we're doing this, we're looking at Ross. Remember his pet monkey in season one?
Marcel.
Yes, a white-headed capuchin monkey. Did 8 episodes. twist is, there were 2 monkeys, actually.
What?
There was a he and a she. So a male and a female. The male, alas, is no more. But the female, certainly as of last year, Katie, the monkey, is still very much alive because they can live to be around 40 years old.
Wow.
When they're domesticated anyway.
And has she done any other feature films?
Well, that's the thing, because there's a bit of confusion about this, about which monkey did what. but certainly, and this feeds into actually a Friend storyline, because I think it was the male Marcel who featured in the Dustin Hoffman thriller Outbreak as the monkey who passed on the virus. Big movie.
Relevant these days to watch.
Yeah, exactly. and for a while, there was this gag that the Friends cast member who had the biggest hit movie was actually Marcel the monkey.
Oh my God, what a good gag.
But then as Friends went on, we then went into season 2 and Marcel returns briefly because Marcel has become himself a movie star in the show.
Oh yeah, I forgot
And
about
is making
that.
Outbreak 2. So it's kind of an in-joke because actually Marcel, or the monkey that played Marcel, was in the real Outbreak. So in the show, he's making Outbreak 2, The Virus Takes Manhattan, co-starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. And there's a lot, I don't know if you remember the scene, but you know, they go to the set and visit him. But there's controversy. There's controversy with Marcel. Schwimmer has slated working with the monkey.
No, come on.
I don't know if he was specific about the male monkey or the female monkey or just both in general, but Schwimmer has said he didn't like working with Marcel.
Oh my God, maybe Schwimmer didn't even know there were 2 monkeys.
Maybe that's what's through him. But
he's like, one day he likes me, one day he hates me.
I know,
he's
exactly.
So fickle.
But the trainers, they've gone, this is outrageous. You know, he was just jealous because Marcel was getting the laughs. And there's been a bit of, you know, he said, I hated working with that monkey. And so there's been a bit of controversy about it.
Who was his PR? I would never let my clients say I hated working with a monkey. That's just death.
But this was in the 90s. This was when it wasn't all media controlled and you could just say what you wanted. And now it's come back to haunt him. So yes, Katie, the monkey, is still alive. I very much doubt, though, David is making regular visits to see her.
I mean, it looked like love. I'm going to say this just proves what a great actor he is. If he didn't like that monkey, I would not have known that on camera.
Some of Ross's funniest moments. We're talking about him being a great actor. What are the moments where, well, you said earlier that he's made you belly laugh.
Oh my God.
Like on the floor with hilarity.
I can guarantee you, I'm going to give you 4, maybe 5 moments.
Yeah.
And
sure, I'm about to drink a slurp of water.
Take a sip first. Go
because
on.
I don't want to spit it out with the hilarity.
You will. So take a sip now while I'm having this moment. And I will tell you, I'd like to take you to a tanning booth. A spray tan booth.
Oh, amazing. Every time I don't do tanning booths, but occasionally I'll put on a cream that's a tanning cream every time.
You think of Ross.
If I whiten my teeth. Or put some tanning cream on.
Oh my God, the teeth whiner.
I mean, think of Ross.
I did think, do I mention the white teeth or the tanning booth? But really, in my head, because I actually do the spray tans.
Yeah.
And every time I get in, I laugh because I'm laughing at myself. Obviously, I'm standing naked in a container where they're about to spray me with stuff that's going to turn me a different color. But like, it is, you can't not think of Ross. That's one of his most iconic moments. And I actually, if somebody doesn't laugh at that, I'm sorry. You can hate Friends, okay? But if you don't laugh at that, I don't know what's wrong with you. That is one of the greatest moments in comedy. And again, it's not how he delivers the line. It's all in the action. He's a klutz and he can't figure stuff out. And it's brilliant. And it's just so well done.
I think there's great physical comedy in Friends, actually. Of course, the dialogue and the writing is brilliant. But you forget that there's some great just pratfalls and things like that. And they do them really well.
Well, and then someone says the word pivot, do you think of any other person on this planet? I mean, that is 100%.
We kind of use that now, don't we? That word pivot as a sort of almost like a self-help word, you know, that you have to like lean in, you have to pivot, sort of words to make us deal with life's troubles.
I mean, I'll just get personal for a second. I had a shrink once say, I think it's time for you to pivot in your life. And I literally laughed at her couch. And she was like, I mean, I didn't think it was that much of a departure. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm just on a couch and I'm thinking pivot. And she didn't laugh. And I was like, what? Pivot?
Yeah, that was the last time you saw that shrink.
Yeah, she was not very good. Anyway, telling me to pivot. What does she know? Okay, so the next one, leather pants. I mean, the fact that Ross, and this is what I do, the part of me does have a soft spot for him because he played with random fashion and he wanted to explore new things. Like leather pants? Dude, what were you thinking?
I've been there.
Oh no, James.
Yeah, I've totally been there.
You haven't?
I absolutely have.
Around
that same era.
Pants?
It was probably around that same era. And I just, you know, maybe guys listening will appreciate this. Sometimes you just feel the need for a leather pant.
Where did you find leather pants long enough for you?
Well, that is true, yeah.
Were those tailor-made?
They weren't tailor-made, no. I think, it was just a regular high street shop, but they didn't last long. They maybe had a couple of outings. They're not a practical trouser. They're really not.
Did you end up in a bathroom with baby lotion and baby powder?
It didn't get quite that bad, thankfully.
I'm going to ask your wife about this. Yeah.
Well, it was way before her. She would never have married me if she'd known about the leather pants.
I'm not sure. Like, I just, again, one of those moments where you just think, I'm not sure I wouldn't know because I'm not a guy, but I'm not sure if men have experienced this. And now I have firsthand knowledge that this is an actual thing that people can
it's like a rite of passage, I think.
Wow. The man leather pants bathroom phenomenon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go. Something for you all to write into us about.
Yeah.
Please share your stories. So I have 2 left.
Yeah.
Fake British accent. And of course, I have to say that here because I'm not British, you're British. So and I'm horrible. Like in this country, people can be from all over and I don't know where the heck you're from. And I've been here 20 years and there's no excuse for it. I'm so sorry. But his British accent is hilarious. And then of course, the whole like phasing out of the British accent. It's just that episode again, belly laughs.
Yeah.
Absolute belly laughs.
Yeah.
And it's just...
He's so well-meaning, isn't he? He so wants to be seen as cool and experimental and sophisticated and all those things. But of course, as soon as you try really hard, you're not.
Well, and
it has to be effortless.
But every single, funny you should say that, every single episode I've just mentioned is him trying too hard. Every single pitfall he has, every single gag moment is because he's trying to be something he's not.
Yeah.
And in some part, including my last one, which is, as we're approaching the favorite holiday of the year, Thanksgiving, the Brad Pitt episode.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
It does have another name, but I call it the Brad Pitt
episode. Brad was dating Jennifer Aniston at this point.
He was, yeah. So it must have been a bit like, get Brad on the show. Let's see what we can do. And then, of course, the hilarious moment of that whole thing is the fact that he hates Rachel. And they have the I Hate Rachel Club. And Ross is, he's trying to play cool with all this. I feel like I just kind of wanted to mention Brad Pitt and Thanksgiving there.
Yeah.
Like, Ross is amazing.
You know, the guest stars on Friends is a whole other episode, isn't it?
But oh my God, that should definitely be an episode.
We've already
real.
Mentioned Brad and Bruce Willis, but we could go on to countless other ones.
It is amazing. But the chemistry between the two of them is, again, a brilliant nod just to Ross, because as an actor, David Schwimmer is an actor, and as a character, because it was well written. He plays it. The two of them have this hilarious, and actually there's so many points that dialogue where you can sort of see them cracking up, and they're channeling the crack ups into like anger. And it's just, you just are there. It's like you're at the table with them. It's just one of my favorite episodes. That's not really one of the funniest moments for me with Ross, but it's definitely one of my favorite ones.
I really like, we'll just finish off with the I think probably my favorite Ross episode, which is the one where Chandler crosses the line. So this is season 4, episode 7. And obviously there is Chandler getting on with Joey's girlfriend, Kathy.
Yeah.
That's sort of the principal plot of that episode. But the second plot is Ross just at his absolute geekiest with his wordless sound poems on his keyboard, encouraged to revisit his teenage years as a keyboard player. The sound. They go, no. Monica goes, no, not the sound. And this is essentially Ross using a load of sound effects on his synthesizer and then it's just so saying good. Things like electrifying, infinite time on his lip mic, thinking he's sort of like Kraftwerk or some sort of influential electro, muso.
I didn't even know what he was referencing. I was like, this is just so batshit crazy.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like this in my life. Is there actual music that sounds like that?
I think no, but he obviously thinks that he's some groundbreaking, influential electronic musician. He's talking about fashion. He's wearing this awful, like, chunky V-neck cream sweater for most of the episode. And that's another thing, going back to the whole Rachel, I think, would Rachel look at that guy and think, I really like him? In fact, I think she mentions the fact that they used to date in that episode and is pleased that they're not dating anymore.
See, I know what you're talking about for what he's wearing, and that was actually really a big style in America.
Yeah, maybe.
So that was like a moment. I'm not giving it nods as to like that should continue, but
yeah.
It was an actual fashion moment. He was just following in the trends.
Man, I know what I'm wearing for the next episode. Emily's little favorite, a nice chunky V-neck sweater. Who knew, guys? But actually, more positively, you know, it is just a great example of David Schwimmer's comedy acting. And I love that my favorite moment is that when he finishes one of his sound poems, he just holds up his hand just briefly. He doesn't want a response immediately. He just wants a second silence. And then he properly finishes.
But wait, hold on. I feel like there's another thing here. Doesn't Phoebe... This might be the next episode. Is it Phoebe? Because Phoebe like has a quite like impressed reaction. Like, doesn't she give up? So she says she's giving up music.
Yeah, because he goes to the coffee shop and plays there, and she says, okay, I can't follow that.
Yeah, and he basically agrees to retire so that Phoebe may continue. And it's just like, what is happening? And that's where I kind of have to take my hat off to the writers and be like, this is brilliant.
Well, both Phoebe and Ross think they're brilliant. And we all know that they're not.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I just think it's a lovely little insight into Ross's past, isn't it? But also, of course, who he still is. Mm. That, you know, he was this... And we often see little flashbacks to him as a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, he was this guy in the 80s with his keyboards making these weird sound effects.
Yeah.
Thinking that he's very alternative, but actually we all know he's...
Wait, he had a band with Chandler.
Of course.
I totally forgot. They had crazy, like, Duran Duran hair.
Yeah, yeah, of course, like a flock of seagulls, all that stuff,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
flock of seagulls, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they have those crazy blazers and stuff. So, like, Ross has a musical history.
He's tried. He's definitely tried, hasn't he? God bless you, Ross.
We love you, Ross.
And, I'm sure the other five main stars of Friends will be getting their own dedicated episodes.
Oh, my gosh.
Very shortly. Emily, once again, as always, you're my friend.
Oh, James, thank you. We can have our own season all up in here with that.
See you next week.
See you next week. And if you'd like to send us an email about Friends or anything else, or a voicemail, a comment, an idea for a show, or just want to say hi, our email address is theshowswewatched@gmail.com. That's theshowswewatched@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and may use your message in a future show.
And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at DiversionPods. I'm also James King Movies. We've got Emily Jane Johnston. Mm-hmm. That's your social media, right? And The Shows We Watched is a production of Diversion Audio.
This season was written, researched, and hosted by us, Emily Johnston and James King.
Our supervising producer and sound mixer is Mark Francis, based on a concept by John Tuttle.
And our head of marketing is Erica Farmer, and the original theme music is by Tyler Cash.
The Shows We Watched, I really want to say, was recorded in front of a live studio audience, but, you know, it wasn't. It was recorded here at the brilliant Vox Pod Studios in London and executive produced by Jacob Bronstein, Mark Francis and Scott Waxman for Diversion Audio.
Diversion Audio.